Master is a very important function in the purification of human life. There are many different types of purification that we partake in this human form of body, and one of the most important, if not the single most important, is accepting initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. So these devotees here today are going to take such an initiation, and we'll give some short explanation about the purpose, the functions, and the different items that you see in the Yajna arena. So first, of course, the perimeter you see is the poles, different poles for the four different directions. We understand that there are different personalities in charge of all the activities of the universe. So at an initiation ceremony or any type of sacrifice or performance, there is always a request for these elevated personalities to come and witness the function. So therefore, the ceremony takes place in front of the deities, Radha Govinda, in front of the spiritual master, and the assembled Vaishnavas. The different personalities of predominating directions are called. The fire itself is actually Vishnu. Vishnu consumes the grains that are offered during the ceremony, and these grains represent the previous karma of the initiates prior to their taking initiation. There are so many karmic activities engaged in, so this purpose of this fire, the purpose of this thing is taking this form is to purify, to consume reactions in this way. Different water pots at the corners of the arena are filled with different sacred articles, here again invoking the mood of auspiciousness. The water pot here, which we have given garland and offered RT to, actually the deity form of Radha Govinda there requested to please come and reside here and witness this ceremony. So in this way, so many auspicious activities are going on. The function of actually taking the initiation, the disciples take on new names. This taking on new names symbolizes the starting of a new life, a spiritual life, as opposed to the previous name which connects us to our material life. So prior to this, we'll chant some different slokas, some glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma Samhita, and different prayers and worship of the spiritual masters. Hare Krishna.
Paramatishna Satchirananda Vigraha Anadi Hadi Govinda Sava Karana Karana Chintamani Kakala Sadhu Sutta Pavriksha Laksavrikesu Surapeha Pipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasambrahma Sevyamanam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Venam Pravantam Aravinda Dalaya Paksham Varhavatam Samashitam Durasundarangam Kandapa Koti Kamaniya Visesha Sobham Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Alola Chandra Kalasadvana Maya Vamsi Ratnan Kadampa Nayakeli Kalavirasham Shaman Tribanda Lalita Nita Pratasham Govinda Mari Purusham Samaham Bhajani Anjani Yasya Satalim Griha Vritti Hanti Asyanti Panti Khalayanti Chaham Jadanti Ananda Chinmaya Sarujvala Vigrahasya Govinda Mari Purusham Samaham Bhajani advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupam adyam purana purusham navayovanam cha vedeshu dulabham asulabham atma bhakto govindamari purusham tamaham vajami santastu kokti satavatsara sampradanyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yatva parachinta vichinta tatve govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami ekopyasovasa yatham jagananda koti yachakshurasti jagananda chayadyaranta antantarashta paramam chayantalam sa govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami yad-bhava-bhavita-diyo-manu-jastu-taira santapya-hutva-mahima-samayana-bhushan chittaya-meva-nidama-pratita-shivanti govindamari-purushan tamaham bhajami ananda-chinmaya-rasam-pratibhahi-kabhi tabe-yaheva-nijaru-pataya-talari Bolokaheva-nivasatya-tilatma-bhuta Govindamari-purusham tamaham bhajami Ramam-janachurita-bhakti-dilochanena Santashtitaiva-hidaeshu-dilokayanti Yamshyama-sundara-machincha-dunasvarupam Govindamari-purusham tamaham bhajami Ramari-murti-sukalani-yamena-tishtam Nanyavattara-makarabhu-vaneshu-kintu Krishna-svayam-samabhavat-paramati-manya Govindamari-purusham tamaham bhajami Yasya-prabha-prabhavato-jadananda-koti Koti-suseshu-vasudha-vidhi-bhuta-dhinu Abhrama-nishkala-manantama-sesha-bhutam Tamaham-bhajami Maya-hi-yasya-jadananda-satanti-sute Vaidunya-sadvi-shaya-veda-vitadya-mana Sattva-valanti-parasattva-vishurha-sattva Govindamari-purusham tamaham bhajami Ananda-chinmaya-rasatma-kayam-sarasam-yatram-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam-sarasam- ृतम चले चेरी महेश हरिदान सुषु केशु सुखे प्रभाव क्षया विहितश्चनाहृष्टिस्थिति प्रलय साधन शक्त होता सहे वयस्य भुवनानि विभाति बोधा ीक्षात्मभुक्तमपि यस्य सचेतुकेशाम् गोविन्दमारे पुरुषाणाम् भजामि स्वरम् यथाद्वेषयोगात् सञ्जायतेन हि तथापि तदस्ति हेतो यसम्भुतमपि तथा समुपैत्यकायात् पुरुषाणाम् पुनहम् भजामि ेव हि समस्तयते सहेतु समानदाना यथाद्रुदेव हि स विष्णुतया विभाति गोविन्दनारि पुरुषाणाम् भजामि व्याख्याननावचलोगा निद्रामनन्तधरनन्द सरोमकूपात् अन्धारशक्तिमवलम्ब्य परम् सरन्ति गोविन्दमारि पुरुषाणाम् भजामि यस्यै परमेश्वरसुतकालमतावलम्बा जीवन्ति गौमधुनन्दनाथ विष्णुमहं सह्ययस्य कलाविशेषो गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् तमहं भजामि दशगम्यतं च सकलेषु निजेषु तेज श्रीयत्यत्र प्रकृतिमाहरीश जगनन्द विदानकर्ता गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् तमहं भजामि यत्कारपालवयुगम् विनिताय कुम्बा ध्वन्द्वे प्रणन्न समये सदनारयाज विघ्नम् विहन्तु मलास्य जगत्त्रयस्य गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् तमहं भजामि अन्ये महीगणमन्दुमरुद्विसश्च तारत्वकात्ममनिषिश्च जगत्त्रयाणि यस्मद्भवन्ति विभवन्ति यशन्ति यम् च गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् भजामि यक्षक्षुहेश सविता सकलाग्रहाणा राजा समस्त सुरमूर्तिहशेष तेज यस्यज्ञानमिति सन्दिकथालचक्रो गोविन्दमारिपुरुषान्तमहम् भजामि कामोत्तपत्यम् चयाश्रितयश्च पंसि रामारिकीर्तिपतकापदयाश्च जीवा यद्दत्तमत्र विभवम् पावा गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् कश्चिन्द्रगोप्तमतदिन्द्रमहोन्द्रमानन्दरूपफलपाचनमाननोति कामानि निद्रपति किञ्चि च भक्ति बाधम् गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् भजामि यन्त्रोदकाम सहजा प्रणयादिभीति भत्साय मोह गुरुगौरवसेज भावय संक्षिप्तस्य सदृशेत्य गोविन्दमारिपुरुषम् भजामि कृता परमपुरुषतावो
So, this initiation is called, this first initiation is called the Hari Nam initiation. This is the initiation to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So there are three offenses to be avoided in chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra, and we'll give some short explanation of these. First we'll recite these three offenses, those that know them can of course. First offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Second offense is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, the equal to anything in the name of Lord Vishnu. The third offense is to disobey the Lord as the spiritual master. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or the literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. The fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. The sixth offense is to give some interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name of the Lord. The ninth and eighth offense, so the chanting of Hare Krishna is one of the auspicious ritualistic activities and various spiritual activities, Kamakanda. The ninth offense is to instruct the faithless person about the glories of the holy name. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in chanting the holy name, but to maintain material attachments, even after so much instruction in this matter. So this first offense, first offense to blaspheme devotees of the Lord. It's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that if one is engaged in devotional activities, even when they have some temporary setback, they should be considered saintly because of their constant endurance in the process of devotion. It's explained that the moon gives a very nice shining effect on the planet, but someone may look at the moon and say, oh, but it has these small black spots on it. So in this way, one can find fault in any type of situation. But a devotee of the Lord is a very rare thing. Someone who has given their life to the chanting of Hare Krishna and to the preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement, one should not blaspheme such devotees. In the words of our great Acharya, Haridas Thakur, every person has both good and bad qualities. But some persons, they are like honeybees and they always find the nectar. And other persons, they are like flies and they always find the stool. So as Vaishnavas, we need to always be like the honeybees and look for the nectar. So the second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Krishna. So this second offense brings to the understanding that there are certain personalities who are above the human species, human level, but they are actually below that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and they are called demigods. They are individuals that are responsible for the functioning and maintaining of the activities of this material universe. Comparison for our understanding may be like in the presidency, there is what he has, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and these are the persons in charge of the different areas of functioning the government. So these demigods, sometimes they may be worshipped by persons who are a little short in knowledge, a little short in actual understanding, as the supreme worshipable object, and when they approach them for different benedictions. But it should be understood that these personalities are subjective to Krishna, that he is actually their Lord and they are worshipping him. Even in reference to their names, for instance, the name Indra means king. And Krishna, he is known as Parameshwar, the king of all kings, the supreme king. The name Shiva means auspicious. And Krishna, he is known as Mangal Mangalam. This means the most auspicious of all auspicious. So in this way, all of the demigods, even by their own name, they are showing that they are simply servants of Krishna. So for one to worship them and think that chanting their name will give the same benefit is a very foolish mistake to make. The third offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master, or to consider him to be an ordinary person. It should be understood that if one has taken the time and the energy to follow the process of devotional service, to proceed along the path of purification and execution of devotional activities, to the point of taking initiation from a bona fide spiritual master in the Bhagavad Gita, to take such initiation and then to later not accept the instructions, or disobey the instructions of such a spiritual master, or to consider that, well, this person is so much like me, we're coming from a similar background, he's elevated himself a bit more than I have, or in that way to rationalize the position of the spiritual master, this is a very great offense, and it will very quickly act to nullify the advancement of the disciple. So the fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or the literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. It should be understood that these literatures are not concoctions or fictitious manifestations of the writings of some individual persons throughout history. But they're actually the words and instructions of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, given through his representatives or given directly by himself. Many times persons misunderstand these teachings. They read them, speculate upon their meaning, and give so many concocted interpretations. Many times they're thought to be symbolic or anagorical in their meaning, but this is actually not a fact. Anyone who has had the opportunity of visiting the holy places can understand this. You can go to Hastinapur and see the places where Lord Krishna's activities with the Pandavas, his associates. You can go to Kurukshetra where he spoke Bhagavad Gita. You can go to Vrindavan where he had all of his childhood pastimes and see all of the places that verify these activities. It is not that these places have been constructed as a result of someone's sweet poetry to verify these words, but these are actual places that confirm the statements of the Vedic scriptures. So the fifth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as imaginary. It actually states in the Vedas that by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the holy name of Krishna, one is directly associating with Krishna and will become cleansed from more sinful activities than he can create in the entire 14 worlds of this material universe. So someone may look at this and think, well, this is a pretty difficult statement to accept. I mean, that's a lot of sinful activity. So they may become a little skeptical and not believe this. But actually, we have to be very cautious that this holy name of Krishna is a very pure sound vibration. It is actually none different than Krishna. And Krishna himself, being the Supreme Lord, is able to nullify such sinful activities. So we should understand it like that. We must have complete faith in the chanting of this holy name. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name of the Lord. Sometimes people will take this chanting of Hare Krishna and try to understand that it has so many other meanings. But if I chant the holy name of Krishna, well then actually the name Hari, it means black. The name Hari also means thief. The name Hari also means snake. So it shouldn't be understood that we're chanting these other type of names. It should be understood that the name Hari Om Tat Sat, that Hari is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that this chanting of the names of Hare Krishna is actually to be understood as it is meant, and not by some type of concoction or mental speculation. So the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities in the strength of chanting the holy name. This is actually considered by all the Vaishnava traditions to be the greatest offense. Actually, in the West, it's very easily understood because we're very guilty of this in our religious upbringing, that we can engage in so many activities all week long and then go to the church on the weekend and confess our activities, beg for the forgiveness, and receive that forgiveness, and go out again next week and do the same thing. And come back at the end of the week and beg forgiveness, and go out again next week like that. So we must understand that this cannot actually be done in the chanting of the Hare Krishna. Chaita Bhavana Marjanam. By chanting the holy name, we become completely purified. But if after becoming purified, we then take up sinful activities, this is not a very intelligent thing. Just like you see the elephant, he goes into the water, and he takes the trunk and drinks the water and washes himself very nicely. But then when he comes out of the water, the first thing he does is he takes the trunk and grabs some dirt and throws it on it. So what's the point of taking a bath? Just not throw the dirt back on. So similarly, what is the point of cleansing ourselves by chanting the Hare Krishna to become clean and engage in sinful activity? Very important to understand that. So the eighth offense is to consider chanting the Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities explained in the Vedas. It should not be thought that by chanting Hare Krishna we are endeavoring for dharma, for religious activity, for artha, for economic development, for karma, for sense gratification, or for moksha, for liberation. We are simply chanting Hare Krishna to satisfy Lord Krishna, to beg him to engage us in serving him. It's not that we're chanting hoping to get some particular result. The result may come, the result may not come. But we're chanting Hare Krishna for the pleasure of satisfying Krishna. And the ninth offense is not to instruct a faithless person in the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. Every day, as preachers of the Hare Krishna movement, we are going out and speaking to many people in the streets, encouraging them to take up the chanting, to take up the process of devotional service. So someone may question, well, we shouldn't preach to the faithless, so how will we preach? But what this indicates is that most people are actually innocent, but they've been misguided. So to set them straight by giving them proper instruction is there. But to preach to someone who is atheistic, who has some adverse feeling towards Krishna, this will simply increase their adversity, and they will become implicated and responsible for this. So we must be very cautious not to preach to those persons. It is explained that a devotee sees distinctions between different classes of people. He sees those that are more advanced than himself. He sees those that are on his own level of devotional activity. He sees those that are his junior. And he sees those that are demoniac, and he avoids them. So this is how we have to understand this instruction. And then, of course, the tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So we have to understand that by this chanting process, we have all availability to return back to home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. And the process for developing this is to not maintain
the mentality of holding on from material desires. If while chanting Hare Krishna, we hold on to the material desires in the heart, not allowing the painting process to remove them, this is a very foolish mentality. Sometimes when one is ill, one may vomit some food, something try to keep in. So picking up these material activities is considered to be like trying to take that food stuff back in. But if actually one has that mentality, that's a very, everyone makes a face when you say that, you know? Oh, what a horrible thing. It is actually a very horrible thing. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're maintaining these material attachments and thinking, well, I just want to hold on to this, or I don't want to give this one up quite yet. It's actually giving a higher taste up and taking up the lower taste. So we need to be very conscious of these 10 offenses and try to very carefully avoid them when chanting, because they will simply stun our progress in devotion service, and that would be very difficult to go back to God. So here's the one verse. Prabhupada Swami will speak now on the importance of accepting Vaishnava initiation.
Body, causing some happiness and pain, then moving the soul out of the body, then arranging as a punishment or as a reward a new body, which the soul is then placed into. This cycle is endless. And one who has Vedic knowledge and can have this vision of what material existence really is, such a person is considered very wise to be able to see this. And thus having this knowledge is quite logical, natural, as a consequence of this knowledge, that such a wise soul will study and analyze carefully, how do I liberate myself from this? This is not at all desirable, that I spend eternity in this fashion, especially when God Himself is inviting me to spend eternity in a different fashion. By returning to that spiritual plane where I can live with God without having to go through the cycle of birth and death, but my existence can be without any death, without any old age, without any disease, without any of the symptoms of restriction, which are all creations of matter, symptoms of deterioration, symptoms of fallibility, of imperfection, of pain, and of undesirable material qualities, selfishness, greed, lust, anger. There is a plane of existence where these things do not exist. They're not manifest there. So we can spend eternity in this cycle of birth and death, or we can spend eternity on the spiritual plane, living with God in a body, in a spiritual form, where there is no deterioration, there is no aging, there is no death. There is no pain. There's no cessation of enjoyment. There's no cessation of love. There's no cessation of different types of pleasures. Krishna makes it very clear in this Bhagavad Gita that that spiritual plane in every respect is superior. And the material plane in every respect is inferior. Every variety of pleasure in this physical plane as its counterpart in the spiritual plane, and in every respect the spiritual plane offers superior pleasure and the material plane offers inferior pleasure. And apart from that, the pleasures that are available in the material plane are cut short by deterioration, aging, death, and other problems, which do not exist in the spiritual realm. So each soul has an opportunity in the human form of life to acquire this knowledge, this wisdom. Of course, it is rare. It may take many, many births as a human being before one acquires such great wisdom. But when one does have this wisdom and understands that he could spend eternity in the cycle of birth and death, or he could spend eternity in the spiritual realm, and he studies very deeply,
many of the people who are assembled here are chanting. Either are beginning in their chanting activity or have been chanting for some time, many of you. So, you can think of this process of initiation as a consummation of that dedication to chanting the holy names of God. In a broad sense, you can think of yourselves also one day aspiring to come to that stage of initiation as well. And, of course, the very word initiation, it means to begin anew. So it's not that from the point of initiation that the devotee should consider now everything is complete, but rather it's a beginning in spiritual life. The activity of initiation signifies a formal connection made with the disciplic succession. And I'd like to speak a little bit in a number of different ways about this disciplic succession. You can all do me a favor, the kids that are making so much noise. Please. Like a chorus. Yesterday afternoon we had very nice wedding here in the temple. As Chaturanga was explaining, there are a number of purposes for which fire sacrifices are performed. One of them, of course, was wedding. And the persons who were being wedded were of Indian descent. And the spiritual master who was invited to come and took the trouble to fly all the way from the southeastern states, from Georgia or Florida, wherever he was, Srila Charyapad, had some people who were in the assembly commenting to him and commenting to each other, why is this his Indian family being married and presiding over the marriage as a white person, an American? A touch of irony, they thought. But of course, the disciples, particularly the father of the, one of the marriage partners, had to explain to the guests, his employers who are Americans, that the consideration is not where one's body is born, but the qualification of the individual. Specific succession is the factor that makes one qualified. Following properly in disciplic succession, and that's what this initiation ceremony formalizes, the formal link with the disciplic succession. across our back wall, we have pictures of some members of this disciplic succession. And bona fide disciplic succession continues on to Krishna. There are statements even within the Shastra, just like this, with this chanting of Hare Krishna, and anyone can take part in the chanting of Hare Krishna. This is one of the glories of the holy name. Regardless of where one is born, even a child can chant, whether someone is educated or not. There's no prior material qualification for taking part in this chanting and dancing activity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered to the whole world. And yet this mantra, chanting, must come in disciplic succession. This was the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that through his order, the chanting of the holy name would be spread everywhere, all over the world, in every town and every village, particularly where Chaitanya cited in this way. But without coming in disciplic succession, Shastra states, this Vedic scripture states, that the effect of the mantra will not be there. And the formalization, furthermore, the Shastra states, the formalization of that chanting through the initiation process, the initiation ceremony, like we are having this evening, is also required. It's stated even particularly for this age, for the age of Kali. But this formal initiation into the chanting of the holy name through the disciplic succession, linking them with Krishna, the full effect of this chanting will not be realized. So again, so many of you are all chanting. So the ceremony for initiation is a very significant one. These individuals have qualified themselves to become initiated disciples by regularly chanting and preparing themselves to take the vow, that for the balance of their life, they will continue prescribed chanting and following of regular principles. So this, again, just to explain in general for the audience here, this idea of taking vows is not something that's done lightly. In our modern, especially Western society, vows aren't taken so seriously. Certainly not in marriage. The divorce rate is astronomical, although certain vows are taken. Vedic marriage is not like that. Nor is the very serious vow taken of initiation. The formal length of the disciplic succession, connecting one to Krishna, is not something that's taken lightly. Before the deity, before the sacrificial fire, before the spiritual master, is a very serious thing. And in this initiation ceremony also, the spiritual master makes his vow as well, to take the disciples to Krishna. And this relationship is not something, again, in contrast to some material exchange or material relationship, the relationship of guru and disciple, according to Shastra, is eternal. That means, even in the spiritual world, where one is serving Krishna eternally, the situation with one's spiritual master is continuing. So it is a very lasting commitment. And I briefly wanted to just present some particular instructions to the disciples, as well for the guests and congregation assembled here. That goes along with this understanding of disciplic succession. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation from a slightly different perspective than the one I just previously explained, what disciplic succession means. And that is that one should become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Hundreds and thousands of times removed, being prepared. One who takes this initiation, and specifically addressing the disciples here, initiation means, making that, being prepared to make that commitment to become the servant of this Gopi. Lord Chaitanya's explanation when asked to define who is a devotee. Gopi Bhattu Padakamala Wara Dasa Dasa Anadasa. So this is the real meaning, another meaning of disciple succession. Being prepared to serve everyone, everywhere, at all times. In fact, this is Lord Chaitanya's mood in his Sankirtan pastimes. In approaching conditioned souls, the spiritual vision is to see every living being as a spirit entity, not their body, but everyone is ultimately a servant of Krishna. So our business, regardless of someone's position, is to render some service. But service, the ultimate beneficiary of that service is Krishna himself. But without distinction, Lord Chaitanya was distributing the chanting of the holy name. Engaging everyone in hearing the glories of Krishna. So this is our position in the disciplic succession also. It makes ourselves as devotees of Krishna more and more pure. This is the principle of pure devotional service. Not that one thinks one has some special position in relation to Krishna. Ultimately, the idea is to come to a state of love of God, and one can serve Krishna directly. However, this position that Lord Chaitanya established, Gopi Bhattur Padakamala Das Das and Das, it's not just based on this body, not at all. It's eternally being prepared to serve the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. This brings one to the position of pure devotional service. And without this pure devotional service, by being connected in the cyclic succession, then it is not possible to have genuine transcendental love of God. That is our desire. Everyone who has come here. Otherwise, why bother? We are wanting genuine love of God. So this position has to be agreed upon to take up. Then another point I wanted to make comes from a reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita having to do with the 10 offenses. Chaitanya was explaining, reciting, and then explaining each of the 10 offenses. There's a nice reference, very brief, describing Lord Chaitanya's chanting. Perform defense system. This is from Madhya Vila, section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. When someone heard the chanting of the holy name from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and someone else heard this chanting from that second person, and someone again heard this chanting from the third person, everyone in all countries became a Vaishnava through disciplic succession. Thus everyone chanted the holy name of Krishna and Hari, and they danced and cried and smiled. Purport, the transcendental power or potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is herein explained. First, the holy name is vibrated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When someone hears from him directly, he is purified. When another person hears from that person, he also is purified. In this way, the purification process is advanced among pure devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead himself, and no one can claim his potency. Nonetheless, if one is a pure devotee, hundreds and thousands of men can be purified by his vibration. This potency is within every living being, provided he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly and without material motives. When a pure devotee chants a senseless thing, another person will become a Vaishnava, and from him another Vaishnava will emerge. This is the parampara system. So this is chanting offenselessly by the benediction of this specific succession. The two qualifications that Srila Prabhupada mentions here, chanting offenselessly and without motivation. That's the principle of pure devotional service. Without motivation means without considering, making the calculation, how to fulfill my own desires. It also means not to try to understand Krishna by our own power of speculation, nor to approach Krishna for some kind of furtive gain, but to make a simple inquiry, what is it that Krishna wants? And to make that our singular desire. That is the purpose of the specific succession. To have access to inquire, what is it that Krishna wants? And that becomes our exclusive desire. That is the specific succession, that is the principle of pure devotional service. And just as Lord Chaitanya was performing his pastimes, the final point I want to make here, is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing these pastimes, springing out of his transcendental ecstasy, but also to Sarasvati, the example. From his pure chanting, others by hearing that chanting became pure, and they in turn chanted, who in turn made others pure. This is sankirtan, congregational chanting, benefiting everybody, spreading unlimitedly the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is very simple activity of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So this initiation is initiating disciples into the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And now we'll stop the explanation and ask the disciples to come forward and receive their beads. You have to have someone come and help you put on your neckbeads. Prior to initiation, the custom is that the disciple wear one strand of beads, and upon formal initiation, three strands of beads are worn. Just put the tray on top of that. You can do that later.
You know what the four principles are?
Yes, sir.
And you agree to chant 16 rounds daily for the rest of your life?
Yes.
Your name is Bhakti Das. Bhakti is the principle of devotion. We find in the process of bhakti yoga, and in all activities, devotion should be there. This is the only way to know Krishna. And Nirvana? So you know what the four principles are? To chant 16 rounds for the rest of your life. For sure. A big deal. Your new name is Brajana Devi Dasa. Alex and Nana have many friends here. You apply those principles for the balance of your lifetime and chant 16 rounds daily. And the initiated name is Lakshmi Priya Devi Dasa. Lakshmi Priya is the name of one of the wives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he took sannyas and began his activities of traveling all over India, spreading the Sankirtan movement. So also in the mood of the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can dedicate your life to preaching Krishna consciousness.
Thank you.
Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasaya
Thank you.